I am poised in peace, knowing I am one with all. This is the thought for, this is the infinite inspiration with Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing. I am poised in peace, knowing I am one with all. Before we began this evening, Ingeborg was working on the computer, setting up the program and getting the encoding system to operate properly. Well, the computer was having a mind of its own. It was shutting itself off all the time. And Ingeborg was turning it on. But meanwhile, when she wanted to get started for me, it shut itself off. So now it's operating, and I am poised in peace, knowing I am one with all, undisturbed by the fact that the computer did or didn't start, and then did start, and then didn't start, and did start, undisturbed by that, because what difference does it make? I live in the now. I am poised in peace, knowing I am one with all. As I walk my morning path, this morning I was walking around it from 3 to 4. I'd gotten up at 2, and I was walking around, and the moon was brilliantly bright, and everything was great, and I was just saying, I am peace, I am peace. And as I said this, a feeling of peace just settled over me. And everything that needed to be done was unimportant. Not that it shouldn't be done, but it did not take my time at that moment. There was time enough to do the things that have to be done when I'm back doing the things that have to be done. Oh, but I get so many good ideas, and I get so many good thoughts about doing what I have to do when I'm walking in my meditation, when I'm listening within. No, you don't. All you do is get confusion. When you are walking and listening within, you should be walking and listening within to balance, to harmony, to poise. Now, if I say to you, Ingeborg, pick up the fork. So Ingeborg reaches over and picks up the fork. Now I say, Ingeborg, I'm your master. I'm in control of you. Ingeborg, put both hands out and hold them over your table in front of you there. Now, Ingeborg, you cannot reach down and pick up that fork. You cannot do it. No matter how hard you try, you cannot pick up that fork. Now, Ingeborg, pick up that fork, but you can't do it. Your body won't let you do it. Your mind won't let you do it. There's just something about you that is resisting picking it up. And Ingeborg says, oh, ha, ha, ha. I'm in charge. And you try to pick it up and you can't. And you say, that's not right. That's not fair. You're manipulating me. And my answer is, I am not manipulating you. I am giving you something to think about, and you're thinking about it. Now, if you don't choose to think about me telling you you cannot lift up that fork, which is not a bad thing, but if you don't listen to that, Ingeborg, how many times do you sit at the table eating and don't even recognize the rest of us are here? Quite often. Ingeborg, how often do we have a conversation here and you are off into another area of thinking and you're not paying any attention to us? You're like the father watching the sports game, you know. You don't even know that we have a conversation going on here. Not that it matters. You don't have to know everything, but the thing is, here you are right in our midst, you know, not more than a couple feet from us, and you're not aware of what's going on. You are master of your own thinking. You are in charge of your thinking. You're not letting us get into your consciousness with our thought. You understand? And that's not good. That's not bad. The part that's not bad is that you're the master of your thinking. The part that's not good is that we would like it if you would be part of our conversation group. Okay. But do you have to be part of our conversation group? Yes, you must. If you're not part of our conversation group, you're a terrible person. And you said, well, I must be a very terrible person because I'm really not interested in your conversation group. Why are you not interested in our conversation group? Because you were picking on someone. because you are belittling someone, because you are talking negative, and I don't choose to do that. Well, should you say that? No. If we're talking negative, if we're picking on somebody, how do you know it? Unless you listened. I was talking to Joseph today on the phone in prison, and Joseph was telling me how well he is doing, how beautifully he's doing, how his consciousness is so high, how he is radiating such magnificence. And he says, and he goes around giving compliments to people, telling them how wonderful they are. And I said, well, Joe, I'm proud of you. And he said, now, is that the right thing to be said, that you're proud of me? And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, that means that you might have been not proud of me before. And I said, well, that could be interpreted that way. But when I say I'm proud of you, I am your sharer, and I am telling you as a teacher that I'm proud of you. And I'm thinking you're doing very well with your training program. Now, if I am your mother and I say I am proud of you, that means I'm trying to manipulate you to do things that I want you to do. If I'm your father and I say, I'm proud of you, son, I'm proud of you, daughter, go for it, then you feel a compulsion to do it for father, for mother, to keep the pride that they gave you. And what happens when you keep the pride that they gave you? It's nothing. It's nothing. You don't feel good about it. They don't feel good about it. And there was a television show or a movie also. Ronald Reagan was playing in it. And it says, they're going to win the game for the Gipper. The Gipper was their coach, and he was in the hospital. And so the team was going to win the game for the Gipper. And that became a spick word. But the thing is, it's stupid. You don't ever do something for somebody else. You might say it outwardly because it makes you sound human. It makes you sound wonderful. But do you want to sound human? Do you want to sound wonderful? Now, who are you winning this game for? Yourself. That's right. What are you doing anything in life for? Yourself. Now, that sounds terrible. That sounds terrible. As I told Joseph, I said, if you go around saying that you're proud of somebody, then that means you're judging them. If I go around saying I'm proud of you, I say you're on the right track. We have a teacher-student relationship here. It's not that I am your boss or anything. I'm just observing for you. Now, when you observe yourself and you say I'm proud of myself, what are you saying? You're saying I'm not going to try anymore. You say, I've reached the limit of what I'm going to do. But if you don't say you're proud of yourself, you just say, I like this. This is fun. This is inviting. This is rewarding. Then you're growing. You're expanding. You're being wonderful. You see, I'm poised in peace, knowing I am one with all. I don't have to prove myself to anybody. I walk into a room, and I don't have to say, now, am I walking too fast? Or am I walking too slow? Am I walking with a gait that is too fancy or a gait that is too common? How am I walking? Poof. I don't pay attention to any of those things. I pay attention to one thing. I walk in that room because I like myself, and when I'm there, I share who I am with all the people. And how is it when I walk into a room, Ellen?
Peaceful.
Yeah. Do I talk to the people?
Oh.
I talk to all of them. Do I talk to people along the path as I'm going in a public park and stuff like that, and I don't even know them?
Yes.
And what do the people feel when I'm done talking to them? That I've invaded their space?
They love it.
They love it. Now, why do they love it? Because I say things about them that they know is true, but they haven't even thought about it. Mm-hmm. I say, man, you look good. Man, you have a lovely smile. It feels good in your vibrations. What are you doing? You know, you some sort of special person? And of course, yes, you know. But they don't do that. They say yes later when I'm gone. But all the world is my reflection. And so I shine out who I am to all the world. And that's my poise. That's my charisma. That's my beingness. And it's not a matter that I am superior to anybody else in this. It's just that this is something that I have chosen to train myself in, chosen to be. Now, we're reading a book about all time is now. We've learned about that in the Art and Sense of Wholeness. We learned about it in the Song of the Spirit. We learned about it in Illusions. We learned about it in the three books of the Absolute Philosophy Course. We've learned about it in all these things. But have we started to put it into motion for ourselves? Have we started to exercise this? Have we started to really know that we are wonderful, that we are living in the now? If I say, Ingeborg, here's a piece of pie, and you look at the piece of pie and say, yes. I say, Sylvia, here's a beautiful vegetarian dinner that was made just for you. It has all the special sauces, just the way you like them. Everything is, and you can smell it. Now, what is Sylvia doing? She's concentrating on this beautiful dish that was prepared just for her. Does she say, I deserve that? Does she say, hey, that smells good? Does she say, wow, this is beautiful? Does she say, I don't deserve it? No, she doesn't say any of those things. All she does is concentrate on that beautiful dish. And she can taste it, can't she? She can smell it. She can see it. She visualizes enjoying it. And you see, that is being in the now. Being in the later is when I say, okay, Sylvia, this is what we're going to have at the banquet tonight. This is just a sample. So what do you think of that? Sylvia says, wow, that's fine. That's just fine. And so then Sylvia immediately shifts gears into the future tense, thinking about it at the banquet. I can hardly wait to get to that banquet and enjoy that nice meal. Whereas if Sylvia really were master of herself, she'd say, I don't have to eat anything at the banquet. I'm going to eat it right now. I've got this beautiful plate set before me of what we're going to have, so I'll accept it. Let me check it there. So you take it, and you take a fork, and you just stand there. It doesn't matter that you're standing up. It doesn't matter that you don't have the glass of wine to go with it. It doesn't matter that you're in the kitchen instead of in the dining hall. That doesn't matter. It's the now that you're enjoying it. You don't see the surroundings. You only see what you're concentrating on. And that's beautiful. Ellen was cleaning out her desk today. And as she was cleaning out her desk, she brought these strange-looking coins to me. And she says, what are these coins? And so I got out the magnifying glass and looked. And here they were, gold $1 coins. Gold $1 coins. And it said $1, U.S. Mint and all that sort of stuff. I hadn't seen them before. I don't know where they came from. Maybe they're collector's items. Maybe they're not. But they're recent. 2000 was the year that they were minted. And, hey, I never knew that those three gold coins were there. Fascinating, isn't it? Now, what do you think we should do with those three gold coins, Ellen? I think we have three monks here, and each monk should have a gold coin.
Oh, that's a good idea.
What do you think? Do you think that's a good idea? Mm-hmm. And you can put it on your desk or anything else that you want, and it's a $1. If you ever have a problem, you got a dollar. But nice, huh?
Yeah.
Now, isn't that one? Why were there three? Because there's three of you.
All good things are three.
Nice,
four.
Huh?
Four. Yeah, four.
Well, I'm leading the game. And the leader doesn't always get involved like the players.
He put the dollar and we get it.
No, you just give me the blank check.
You put it?
You put those dollars there? But just give me the blank check and I'll be perfectly happy. I am poised in peace, knowing I am one with all. Now, we have that opportunity. We have that opportunity every time we turn around, to live in the now, to be poised. We're not surprised, we're just poised. And this is a wonderful thing to be. So join with me in being poised, in peace, knowing I am one with all, because it's a wonderful feeling. And I love you, I love you, I love you.